Hello and welcome to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. And tonight, we look at what it takes to rise to the top of your profession. Let me ask you one question. If you could go back in time and start over, but start over knowing what you know now, do you think you can be more successful in life? The answer to this question for the vast majority of people is yes. They say yes because no matter where you are in life, you are just scraping the surface of what you are capable of. Your current reality is nowhere near the true reality that lies within you. The trick is to not let that die with you. If you die today, what dreams, what inventions, what contributions to society will go with you to the grave? But you can take a stand and dig down and find the courage to chase your dream. And for all those people who didn't think you could make it, who didn't think you could do it, this is your opportunity to prove them wrong. Because what is possible, you will never know unless you try. And tonight, we are going to look at three individuals who did have the courage to chase the top spot on the podium. Tonight, we'll find out how they're thinking differently about their careers, and we'll find out what strategies they've used to get to the top of their game. Our first guest is the chairman and chief executive officer of Nestle Middle East, Yves Mongar. Having worked almost all over the world, he has faced his fair share of bulls and bears, and tonight he shares his lessons learned on the road to the top. Our second guest is the general manager of the world's leading source for business information and insight, Dun & Bradstreet. It's Manjeet Chhabra. But we'll also be joined by a dyed-in-the-wool entrepreneur, Peter Davis, the founder and MD of Carrion College Advisors, an educational consultancy. So we have chairman, we have general managers, we have fire passion of a real entrepreneur. Tonight, we have all the ingredients to fuel your vocational ascent all the way to the top. But let's get this show going. Let's hear a little more about our first guest, Yves Mongar. This individual has literally worked all over the world.
This is Eye on Careers, Executive CV.
Yves Mongar is the chairman and CEO of Nestle Middle East. Nestle is one of the world's largest food and beverage companies headquartered in Switzerland. Among its brands are Maggi, Nespresso coffee capsules, or Kit Kat chocolate bars. The company's heritage in the Middle East goes back 80 years to 1934 when the first import operation was set up in Lebanon. Today, Nestle Middle East owns and operates 16 factories in the region and employs approximately 7,000 people. Yves joined Nestle in 1984 and has held various leading positions in markets such as Japan, Sri Lanka, Hong Kong, and Vietnam. In 1991, he was appointed country manager of Nestle Singapore and became commercial director of Nestle Philippines in 2001. He was vice president of Nestle South Africa between 2003 and 2004 and market head of the Southern African region between 2004 and 2009. In October 2009, Yves relocated to the Middle East, becoming the chairman and CEO of Nestle Middle East. In 2010, Yves oversaw Nestle Middle East's opening of a $136 million manufacturing facility in Dubai, which specializes in the manufacturing, canning and packaging of several Nestle brands, including Nestle Nido Powdered Milk, Kit Kat Chocolate and Nestle Pure Life Bottled Water. Yves is a graduate of the AGC Business School in Lausanne in Switzerland, and he is married with three children.
Well, welcome to Eye on Careers, Yves.
Thank you very much, Shane. Good evening.
It's always exciting when you have a brand or someone from a brand that you've grown up with, because actually Kit Kat has to be one of my, I think it's my favorite chocolate bar by far. But, you know, it's funny how the new one, the Caramel Chunky, that one really hits the spot. But I also think it has more calories than anyone else on the planet. But it's quite, it's a masterpiece. It is. But it doesn't look like you eat very much chocolate, actually, when I'm looking at you. You know, for those people out there who can't see, Yves is totally ripped. I think he has 3% body fat.
I do exercise, too.
Right. So this is, you know, we rarely get to have someone who's as globally seasoned as you are with us. I mean, you literally have worked, you know, when I said all over the world, you literally have. It's quite an expansive international experience you've gathered.
Yeah, I joined Nestle in 1984 as an expatriate for Asia originally. And through the past 30 years, I've lived in 10 countries, both in Asia, in Africa, now in the Middle East, and in between. In fact, I worked only once for less than 2 years in my home country, Switzerland.
Out of 30 years, you've only worked 2 years in your home country.
Absolutely.
So this is an interesting breed because now you become, you know, you're not really the same as someone from Switzerland who's lived and worked their whole life in Switzerland. They're not really going to connect. You're part of a very, you know, new breed of executive that's truly has a global culture.
30 years ago, it was probably still an exception. Today, it's almost normal. Many, many business people are really citizens of the world. It's so easy to travel. And also, I think that global businesses need people to move from one part to the organization to another. It's also a way to convey values, corporate values, and to make sure that you have systematic ways of doing things and handling situations.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you look at your values, this is part of your navigation system, part that sets your direction. And when we go back to, you know, the early days, your high school, elementary school, was there a vision there? Did you start to have a direction? Did you know you were going to be this global citizen, business savvy individual? Or at what point did a vision take place for you?
No, in fact, not at all. What I knew is that as much as possible, I wanted to touch people's life. And I wanted to make a difference. That's why when I was 12, I really started to strongly feel that I should become a doctor. And I did study at the medical school for 2.5 years before shifting to business and eventually realizing that a profession is only a tool to achieve an objective. And today I feel that I am touching many people's lives. In fact, it's part and parcel of our mission in Nestle, which is to enhance people's quality of life. But it's also something you do with your colleagues, with your subordinates, even with your customers. And it's a different way to achieve the same objective of trying to make a difference.
I like that that concept that your profession is only a tool to create a bigger impact in this world. And in that sense, it doesn't matter if you're a doctor, if you're an FMCG specialist, if you're an executive search consultant, that you can create this.
Very much, because for me, one element which is very important in life is to grow, to develop yourself, and to help people to grow and develop themselves. I think it's probably the most important objective for any leader. And you can do this in many different ways.
And, you know, when I opened the show, I said, you know, one of the things we want to look at is how are they thinking differently? And I don't know if people really realize that one of the biggest, in my humble opinion, one of the biggest differentiators between those people who rise to the top 5 or 1% versus the others is not what they're doing, but how they're actually thinking. And, you know, right out of the gates, we can see here that you're fundamentally thinking about the FMCG business as in a much different way than probably someone else who's achieving achieving the same result.
Yeah, I think it's in fact much more about how you do things rather than what you do. And I think it's also what you learn through life, the difference between, you know, IQ and emotional intelligence. And I think it's really through emotional intelligence that you make a real difference. And this is something that you also get through experience and age.
And so why did you not become a doctor, though? I'm just curious, because most people would kill to get into med school, right? I mean, that's an accolade in itself that you got into med school.
I think probably two things. First of all, I really didn't appreciate the way the studies were being conducted. The very fierce competition, lack of sharing, lack of support between the students. And secondly, I think at that time I was afraid to somehow be emotionally too involved in the daily life of a doctor, especially faced with difficult situations. This is something which today I would almost say, if I could study again today, I would definitely study medicine, because with the experience I have today, with what I know today, I am very sure that I could be quite an effective doctor.
Right. What's changed? What was that epiphany moment, or what were the key learnings there?
I think it's really the growth that you get through life. The fact that you look at things differently because of the experience, because you have matured, because you have grown. And you said earlier when you opened this program, you said, you know, if we could start again knowing what we know today, if I could be 20 being who I am today, I think I would go very, very far and probably do many, many things in a different way.
It is amazing that when you look in nature, you'll never see a tree that grows to half its size. You never see a shark chasing its prey at half the speed it can swim, or a flower blossoming to only half its natural size. The human species is the only species on the planet that routinely exists into only a fraction of its potential, the only species that thinks itself into defeat and can even think itself to death.
I think we are on our own limitation. And self-confidence is, for many of us, one of the things which limit us. In fact, I have an analogy that I use sometimes, which is when you play golf. If you want your ball to fall into the hole, you have to make sure that you throw it or push it further than the hole. If you don't push it strongly enough to reach the hole, it will never fall into the hole. And I think in life, many of us at times, we limit ourselves. We don't stretch ourselves, we don't push ourselves, because we don't aim after the hole. We aim at the hole, and usually we don't reach it.
Is that, and this is one of my own theories, I just like to test this out, is that, you know, because they believe, if you believe in reality, then you will be limited. And in a sense, you have to like believe that reality doesn't exist, that this is an illusion.
I think you have to believe also in dreams. You have to have strong confidence in life. And I think that's something you get, you know, along your journey of life. But at a younger age, I think you doubt more often than not.
Very, very interesting. This is the story of Yves Mongar. He's the chairman and chief executive officer of Nestle Middle East, sharing his lessons learned on the road to the top. We are going to look at exactly some of these toolkits that you can use to become more successful in your career in just a moment. So stay with us.
Dubai Eye 103.8. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are here listening to Mr. Yves Mongar. He is the chairman and chief executive officer of Nestle Middle East. Yves, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you.
This show, the best part about the show is it's interactive, so you can SMS us at 4001. Or you can use your mobile app to interact with us directly. And I'd also like to thank our sponsor, the ICAEW. That's the Institute of Chartered Accountants of England and Wales, who really make it possible for you to get direct access to some of the top business leaders in the region. I mean, this is a brand that's really committed to developing the next generation of leaders in this nation. And we wouldn't be here without them. So if you want, SMS us at 4001 or use your mobile app to send us in a question if you have any for Yves. For those just joining, Yves was just really touching on some of the main concepts, how do you think about your career? How do you think about your business? And for him, he was saying that profession is only a tool to create a bigger impact in this world. That, most people are limiting himself. He himself had admitted that if he could go back to when he was 20, knowing what he knows now, he would be even more successful, because part of the challenge is dealing with your own reality, that you are limiting yourself, that you're not pushing yourself, that you're setting your own limits, false limits. And in a sense, Eve, that makes us our own worst enemies. This is the biggest challenge. The biggest, toughest person to manage is yourself.
Yes, very much. And I think it's one of the big challenges that all human beings have in life, is really to strengthen our own self-confidence. And I think it's something that comes through experience, and very often we learn this through difficult times. In fact, difficulties are often the times when you work on your self-confidence, you work also on your resilience and on your courage. I think it's also the fact that when you grow, you develop more wisdom. And the big difference between 20 and I'm 57 now is probably the importance when you are younger of the intellect, and the importance at a later stage of wisdom. Wisdom being linked with emotional intelligence, while intellect is very much the IQ that you need probably at the beginning.
And in a sense, though, you know, your mind will create anxiety for you. Your mind will tell you that you can't do it. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that people don't want you to succeed in business. And your own brain doesn't care about your dreams. Your brain doesn't care about its goals. Your brain's only function is to keep you alive and minimize your risk exposure to this vehicle that you're experiencing life with. So in the morning, do you have to do anything to reprogram or to reset and take control of your thoughts?
Yes, not only in the morning, you know, there are different times during the day. It can be before an important meeting, it can be before what I know will be a difficult discussion. Also in the evening, very important for me to go back in my mind through the day and see what went well and what could have gone better. If I can add also on what you mentioned in terms of self-limitation, there is the notion of courage, which for me is very important. Courage is part and parcel of what leadership is all about. And courage has been very well defined by somebody I respect very much, Nelson Mandela, when he said, "I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it." And very often people see fear as something which limits themselves and block them, instead of thinking, how can I overcome that fear? There is no way you will ever have no fear. But the key is to learn how to master your fear and how to eventually overcome them. And I'm still working on this even today, and I guess I will be working on it until the last day in this current life.
I think it was, I don't know if it was either Mario Andretti or Seneca, the famous F1 race car drivers, and they said, if you're in your car and you feel like you're under control, then you're not going fast enough. And in your career, if you are not scared, if you are not feeling uncomfortable, is it that you're not pushing yourself? You're not driving yourself. You are not pushing your limits enough.
Yes, I wouldn't say that you have to be scared, but you have to feel stretched. The day you realize you are in your comfort zone means it's the day you start not growing anymore. As long as you feel stretched, you will be growing and you will be progressing.
Now, the other concept here is, as you push yourself, when you know, if you take the race car driver example, the first couple of times they take a corner, they hit the gravel, that they actually go off the track. And so in business, do we need to fail? You know, one of the CEOs I talked to said, fail fast and fail often. Where does failure fit in this ingredients of a success?
I think it's part and parcel of learning. I remember one day I was transferred to a large market, and because at that time I was even more naive than I may be today, I thought I had all the ingredients to take over from my boss. And somehow I did show it so much that it never happened. And I think this was a big lesson for me, once again reminding me that do well what you are supposed to do today and you will progress. Don't think about tomorrow, because tomorrow may never happen.
Wow. So the other concept here is with failure, a lot of people, what happens is the regular people, they fail, they feel down, they feel like a failure, and they think about the experience wrong. Whereas the champion or someone who's going to champion this hurdle, they think about this as, oh, it's great. This is a learning experience. I've been knocked down. You know, this is fantastic. I'm going to get back up and get back in there. Again, it's how you're thinking about it. And so they need to really embrace failure.
I think there is also the possibility to help you overcome failure or difficulties is also to talk about it. If you really realize that you have not managed the situation well, go and speak to the people you were engaging with. If you feel that there is a situation you could have managed differently, mention it. Because by opening up on what you are not too happy with, it's also a way to liberate yourself. The worst is like frustration, is to keep it inside and to have it bottle up. As long as you can liberate yourself from what didn't go too well, I think it's also a way to recognize it, which shows that you have courage, that you have the confidence to show your weakness. And it's a way to rebound and really use this in a positive way into the future.
What would you say are some? Do you have some business philosophies that you keep in front of you as your North Stars, or do you have some mantras or kind of beacons of light that when the regular road wears out, well worn paths fall apart, when you're surrounded in darkness, you know, you look at these to give you guidance, to give you your direction.
There is one thing that a colleague of mine told me recently, and I've shared with some of our colleagues through chatter. It says, there will always be rocks on the road ahead of us. There will be stumbling blocks or stepping stones. It all depends on how we use them. And I think this summarizes somehow the fact that you will always be faced with difficulties, with challenges. In fact, we are paid to solve problems, to solve issues. The question is, how do you react? And do you see it as a limitation, or do you see it as a way to grow further? Do you see it as a stepping stone?
Those are very powerful words. And I almost think that, you know, you need to change your relationship with failure. But what are there any other mantras that you have there, or any other things that you keep in front of you?
There is one which for me is also important, is the fact that you get what you tolerate. And I think this is something I very often reflect on when I'm not sure if I'm going to take a decision or not. Because at the end of the day, what you don't change means you accept. What you tolerate, it can be in terms of behavior with people, or it can be in terms of performance with individuals, is really what you will get at the end of the day. And the same applies to yourself. If you tolerate certain wrong behaviors of yourself, that's what you will get.
You get what you tolerate. I heard I can't remember who said this, but they said, you know, the reasonable man tries to adjust himself to his environment, and the unreasonable man tries to adjust his environment to him. And so all progress in society is based on the unreasonable.
You are right, but I think it's a bit of both. You have to adapt to your environment. You have to align with your environment in order to take it further. And I think just to try to change things is probably at least what I did when I started my career, until I realized that first I had to adapt in order to align and take the environment with me further.
So in effect, a good leader also has to be a good follower.
Very much so. Very much so.
So in a sense, I mean, almost in American business lore, do you think that we over-sensationalize the leader? Because at the end of the day, a leader without his first few followers is nothing.
Yes, you are correct. And I think that you have many, many leaders in life. In fact, anyone can be a leader in his or her own way. And I think we have to be careful not to idolize somehow a few individuals, because there is probably maybe even more merits for some people who are not even known, but because of what they do on daily basis and really making a difference in the life of many people day after day.
It almost seems like this is a vestige of the 20th century, this hierarchical concept, and you know that a leader just has another role to play as part of the team, no more important or less important than anyone else.
Yes, because at the end of the day, leadership is all about helping people to become the best they can be. So you are one of them. By helping others, you will see that others will help you also to become a better yourself. And I think this obsession that personally I have about growth, personal development, for the people I work with, for my family, for the people I meet, is the same that I have for myself. That's really what keeps me going. That's really what I think about every morning when I get up, and what I think about every evening before switching off the bed light.
Well, this is Yves Mongar. He is the chairman and chief executive officer of Nestle Middle East. He's worked all over the world, and he's sharing his secrets to success on the road to the top. He's going to be talking about some of the biggest challenges he's faced on that road in just a minute. So stay with us.
Dubai Eye 103.8, keeping you up to date with what matters in the UAE. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are sitting here talking with Yves Mongar, the chairman and chief executive officer of Nestle Middle East. Yves, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you, Shane.
Am I like killing your last name, or am I somewhat close? Or
no, it sounds great.
That's okay. Yeah, you're very kind. Yeah, it sounds great, Shane. No, but it's a pleasure having you. For those just joining us, I think this is probably one interview you may want to go to the website dubaieye1038.com/eyeoncareers. Click on the podcast. You know, he's really talking about how the biggest challenge is managing yourself, that your biggest enemy is your mind. Your mind will tell you you can't do it before anyone else does. Your mind will put anxiety in you. Your mind will put fear in you. Your mind will try to dissuade you from chasing your dreams. And Eve was talking about how he manages that to build his own career. He talks about the difference between IQ versus EQ. And another thing is it's really about how you're thinking about your career, that, you know, for him, it's not just FMCG. For him, it doesn't matter what your profession is, that your profession is a tool to create a bigger impact in this world. So you can immediately see, you know, the way he's thinking about his business is much different. But I urge you to go back and take a look at that online. Again, it's you can also SMS your questions in at 4001 or use your mobile app. And I think some of our listeners are send their questions in, and they wanted to know, Eve, given everything you've done, and again, for those just joining us, Eve's worked all over the world. He has 30 years of FMCG experience. What has been your biggest challenges? And, you know, again, with that emotional experience of those challenges, that fear and everything else that comes when we're under pressure, how did you deal with those negative emotional experiences to overcome and find victory in these situations?
I think any leader has many, many difficult things, tough things to handle throughout life. Of course, business-wise, when you have to close a factory, you have to make some people redundant. That's something which is not easy. But eventually, the first thing I really had to deal with in my life was when I was 20. I mentioned I spent 2.5 years at the medical school. In fact, after 2 years, I knew it would be better for me to move to business. But it took me 6 months to find the courage to tell my dad that he was a businessman, and it took me 6 months, and going up the stairs, standing in front of the door, and not really finding the courage to knock at that door. And the big learning happened the day I really found the courage, opened the door and told him, you know, I have to tell you something. I don't think I will continue at the medical school. And I realized that I wasted 6 months of my life, because the only question he asked me was, so tell me, what do you want to do? And he also told me at the end, when I explained to him that business would be a better way for me to hopefully make a difference in this life, the only thing he told me was, follow your heart, but take your brain with you. And I think this is what I tried to do over the past 30 years in business. And the notion of not wasting time, being very transparent, sharing things, being open, explaining the reasons, having nothing to hide, is also what I have done in difficult situations, dealing with unions in South Africa, convincing an organization that black economic empowerment was really something beneficial for us, for the people, for the country, and at times restructuring, doing things differently. So probably that toughest one was a more personal one than a business one.
Well, I'm listening to you here. I mean, it really is a story of the development of your character where, you know, when we look at integrity being, you know, actions matching values, a lot of people think integrity is, you know, honesty, which is fine, but it's not. It's integrity is values matching actions. And your value for business was higher than the medicine, although that may change now as you've grown older. But, you know, at that point in time, and so you took action against that. And at that point, that sacrifice of giving up your medical, that safe haven of the medical school and the great career that that offered, fortified your character, that cemented that value in your character. Now, my theory goes that when you're in a leadership position, and the right answer to go left or go right or go up or go down, it's not clear. It's the weight of your character that carries you through that dark moment. And those individuals who have not sacrificed will not have the weight of character to walk through that darkness.
Yes, I think at times you do have trade-off, and there's no doubt that you may have to sacrifice. But as long as you follow what you mentioned, which is so important, is your values. I think that's really the guiding line, the red thread, which can help you also to find the courage to overcome difficulties. And it's something I have to say, sometimes people ask me, how do you do to spend 30 years with the same organization? There are two things. First of all, I've worked up to now in 10 countries. So in a way or another, I've worked for 10 type of organizations, even if we have the same products and the same values. But the second one is regarding these values, is that the values that we have in Nestle are the values I have personally and that we have with my wife to bring up our three sons. It's all based on trust. Trust being really supported by four elements of respect, of transparency, of integrity, and of quality. And I think this is really a kind of engine which can guide you through both good time and difficult time. And that notion of transparency is also something I often talk about, because whenever you have issues between people, it can be with a colleague, it can be with a subordinate, it can be with your spouse or with one of your child, to be transparent, to talk about it, to explain how you felt, and at times to apologize, I think is something which really makes a difference. It helps you to feel stronger, it builds your self-confidence, and it does also build respect and trust in others and from others.
When I'm listening to your story, you know, one of the big themes that's jumping out at me here is that you are more focused in who you will become than what you will get. And do you feel that the people who are stuck in the herd are so focused on what I can get, the title, the salary, and they're not concerned about who they are becoming as a person? And even in an interview, if you ask someone, you know, describe, you know, who you want to become. What's your personal vision? What kind of person do you want to be 5 years from now? 90% of people are a deer in headlights. They can't answer the question.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. And I think the faster you realize that if you don't professionally reach a certain level, it's not because you're not able to get there, the faster you will be comfortable with what you are supposed to do today, and you will concentrate on it, and you will grow as an individual. And I think it's also linked with how somebody defines success. And I very regularly I meet the people who join our organization, and I always tell them, first thing you have to answer is your own definition of success. If for you it's a title, you will give everything for the title. If it's something else, doesn't matter if you don't get the title, as long as you get what for you is important and means success.
This concept of, you know, I think a lot of people let society or people, things outside, define their success, and in fact end up miserable despite being very successful by these metrics.
But you know, this is the whole questions of puberty when you're a teenager. Why do you suffer through puberty? Because you want to be what others would like you to be, until you realize that if you put your happiness in other people's hands, you will never be happy. You have to put it in your own hands.
And that's the courage of dropping med school, going after business, or leaving Switzerland, debatably one of the most beautiful countries in the world, and jumping into, you know, places where you don't know anything about it. Saudi Arabia. How do you know? Nobody can know about Saudi Arabia till you go and you're on the ground there and you're, you know, in the middle of Riyadh doing business, and that's an experience in its own, which could be another show, I think. But that courage to listen to your inner voice, and I find that a lot of these people who rise up are actually listening, have the courage to listen to that gut feeling over the chorus of the crowd, of the pedestrian herd around them.
Very much. And this inner voice is very much linked with intuition. And when you feel it's right, more often than not, it's right. And when you feel it's not, more often than not, it was not.
Well, we're just going to get to the bottom of how your brain should be programmed for success. This is a course being taught by Yves Mongard, as he kind of talks about his lessons learned as he developed himself over the last 30 years of business on I don't know how many continents. I can't count them off the top of my head, but a true global citizen. And we're going to be right back in just a minute, so stay with us.
Dubai i103.8, content that keeps you listening. Stay one step ahead.
Welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are listening to the story of Yves Mongard, the chairman and chief executive officer of Nestle Middle East. Yves, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you.
And for those just joining us, Yves has had a three decades of a career across I don't know how many continents. He's worked in Japan, he's worked in the Middle East, he's worked in Europe, he's worked up all over the place, and he's really talking about how you really need to manage yourself to be successful, how you need to think about yourself, how you should think about your career, how you should think about your business. To him, a profession is only a tool to create a bigger impact in this world. It doesn't matter if you're FMCG or you're a doctor or you're executive search or you're PR and marketing communications. It does not matter what it is. It's how you're approaching or thinking about your work that makes the difference. And so I'd urge you to go to our website, DubaiI1038.com, and take a look at this podcast, because it's really some powerful concepts there. Yves, just to get back to what we were talking about now, when you look at integrity and values matching actions, one of the things happens when your values don't match your actions, or you don't have the courage to stand up for your values, cognitive dissonance takes over. This is a psychological concept which says, you know, we have anxiety about something that happened, so we cut that off and we don't think about it, and we think about it in a different way. And what the run-on effect of this is, your emotional intelligence drops because you don't have the self-awareness. You don't even want to get to know yourself that well. Your emotional intelligence drops. And now you cannot lead effectively without emotional intelligence in the 21st century. Is this one of the key concepts? Like, people don't realize that the big gift of having integrity, of sacrificing, is it's really the critical, one of the critical bedrock of a leader, right?
Yes, because it's linked with the fact of being authentic. I always say it's so much more difficult to lie. Because if you start lying, you don't remember what you are saying to whom. And eventually you will start saying the wrong thing to the wrong person. If you are always transparent, if you are always authentic, you know that to whomever you speak, you will say the same thing. Therefore, you have nothing to hide. You can free yourself. And it's only by freeing yourself that you can really concentrate on what should be your mission. And this notion of values in building trust through transparency and integrity is also, it's also very important to link it with passion. I think in business, you need values and passion. Because if you have only values and you don't have passion, eventually you will not be able to compete anymore. If you have passion but you have no values, you have the problem of doing the wrong things. And we have seen a number of large organizations falling because of lack of values. But if you have values and passion, in that case, you give yourself a chance to become a high-performing organization. And for us in Nestle, we define passion in four ways. Passion for people, passion for winning, passion for ownership, and passion for execution. In fact, we value very much execution. We define excellence as being passion for execution. And to have people being proud of executing well is something which truly makes a difference. And you find it, especially here in the Middle East. I have to say, in Nestle Middle East, we have this culture of valuing execution, which truly makes a difference. It makes a difference for the people. It makes a difference also in the field with and for our consumers.
One of the big things that obviously you do as a chairman, as a chief executive officer, is, you know, you're really creating influence. You're taking new ideas from concept, from a fantasy spot, and dragging them across this magic line, and they burst into reality. And to do that, you know, how do you get people to walk that path with you? That is the magic of a true leader.
I think what's important is to paint as clearly as you can the place where you want to go. And after that, to align the people to make sure that they all understand the journey it will take to get there. And I think that's what is important. Paint, you know, put the painting on the wall, show it to everybody, and make sure that everybody understands it in the same way.
That this whole hour that we've been talking about leadership and success in business, you never once said, you know, you got to have a good business plan and make sure your net present value or net asset value is there, your IRR is there. It was all about, you know, versus the conscious mind versus the subconscious mind, what's going on in the subconscious. To many people, we say that as a company, we have a collective subconscious, we have a collective conscious. A lot of people say that's 90%, but none of our theory or process or strategy is dealing with the 90%. You know, 99.9% of the leaders are focused on the 10%, the tangibles, the mechanics of business, and they're ignoring the dynamics. Are we Neanderthals here when it comes to business theory, that we do not have a proper theory to deal with the human element of our business?
You know, for me, the most important part in doing business is the people. If you have the right people, people with the right attitude, with the right values and the right passion, you have a very big chance to succeed. You can have all the processes, all the structures, all the rules. If you don't have people with the right attitude, you'll have very little chance to succeed. So make sure that you have the right people. Make sure that you get the best possible people. Don't be afraid of working with people who are even more knowledgeable than you, who have even more experience than you, because they will help you on the way towards success.
For our listeners, though, you have to practice this in your personal life as well. You know, do you, for example, have to identify friends, even family members who are negative influence? You need to cut them out like a cancer. You need to eliminate them. Is that true?
I think before eliminating anyone, you have to understand and appreciate their situation, see how you can help them. First try. Try again or try harder. But if at the end you realize that the person has not decided to give himself or herself a chance to change, there you have to protect yourself from these negative vibes or negative influence, very much so.
We have to protect our psychological environment. I mean, people don't realize how impressionable they are. They don't think they're impressionable. But if I yawn in front of an audience of people, you know, 60% of that audience, you know, or at least 30% is going to yawn as well. Is this part of it? I mean, I think as we approach the end of this segment here, why don't we ask you, what advice do you have for people who are early, and then advice for mid, and maybe advice for people who, you know, because we have CEOs and chairmen who are also out there listening. What's your advice to your fellow countrymen?
I think people who start their career, I would really recommend that they focus on doing well what they are supposed to do. Make sure they don't think about tomorrow, they don't think about what's going to be the next step or the next promotion. Because if they do this, they will lose the focus on the ball, and eventually they will miss it. If they really concentrate on doing well what they are supposed to do, they will be recognized as people with sustained performance, with the right attitude of helping others, of being a facilitator, somebody who is always here to say, how can I help, how can I contribute, rather than the one who think about tomorrow too much and the next position and the next title, who will only be thinking about themselves and will forget what they are supposed to do. People at my level, senior leaders, I can only say continue to focus on people. Continue to grow the best possible people in the best possible way. Continue to learn yourself from them. It's very important to get feedback, because it's also by us continuing to grow that we can help others to continue to transform themselves.
Well, Eve, thank you so much. I mean, I think we could have easily done another 3 hours. It was a fascinating journey. And, you know, some of the big takeaways, I loved your statements that profession is only a tool to make a bigger impact in this world. You know, and I think that's a great statement. The importance of making that shift from your IQ to your EQ, that you have to realize that your reality, or that you are the toughest thing to manage. You need to manage yourself and don't let your reality limit you. I think you have to be passionate in 4 areas. You said passionate about people, passionate about winning, passionate about execution, and passionate about ownership. You talked about some of your key qualities or values at Nestle, which is respect, transparency, integrity, quality. But I think, you know, one of the key mantras I'm taking away from this is, you know, when you face a failure or a setback, is it a stumbling block or a stepping stone? You know, is that going to be a stumbling block or a stepping stone? People who win, people who rise up, they see stepping stones. They don't get stumbling blocks. And the other big one I'm taking away is that you get what you tolerate. You're going to let that slide. You're going to let that person do whatever it is. Whatever you're going to tolerate, that's what you're going to get. That's what your organization is. And also a sense of urgency, that time is ticking. It waits for no one. So don't waste your time. And the fundamental biggest North Star that I'm taking away from this is, it's not what you want in life or what you're going to get. It's who you want to become. And I want to thank you again for taking the time to come out and share some of these golden nuggets, as one of my friends likes to call them.
No, thank you very much, Shane, for inviting me.
Thank you. That, again, is Eve Molgar, the Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of Nestle Middle East. For those of you who missed that, you can go catch it on our website at DubaiEye1038.com/iOnCareers. And it will be up probably by Tuesday or Wednesday on the website. And it's definitely something you want to catch up with. Coming up, we have the fires of a true entrepreneur, a man who started his own business, helping other people get educated, get university degrees from the United States. We're going to hear how he carved this little niche out for himself, doing something he feels a huge value in, and is creating a big impact in our community. So that's coming up in just a minute. For anyone out there who wants to start their own business, it's one interview you don't want to miss.